Hey, thank you guys for being here. My name is Clayton, the lead pastor at Central. I really am glad that you are with us today. If you're watching online with us, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 15. That's where we're going to be at today. I want everybody to be able to open up their Bible to Matthew 15. We're going to stay in Matthew 15 for a while. And yes, I was gone all last week. Got to go up to Colorado and go elk hunting. And it was an incredible experience and it was awesome. But how many of you guys are... your planners. When you go on vacation, you've got everything planned out. Where you're going to stay, where you're going to eat, you know, how long, and restroom breaks and gas stations. Like I'm kind of the same way. I want to know everything, but I decided on this trip, I'm going to do it a little bit different. And I was meeting up some friends in Colorado, so I'm driving by myself all the way there, and I was thinking, I'm just going to go until I am tired, and then I'll stay in a motel somewhere, and when I want to eat, I'll just see something on the road, and I'll eat. Which is totally foreign from me because usually I'm the guy that gets online and finds the best place. I want to research everything. And the best way to research anything is you go to Google and you look up the Google reviews. I don't want to know what some motel or some restaurant has to say about themselves. I don't want to know what they have to say. I want to know what people who've experienced that, what they actually have to say. And did you know that there are Google reviews for churches as well? You know, if you want to find a church, just go online, go to Google, and you can usually see reviews. There's reviews about our church and people's experiences here. But I went online this last week and found some bad or off-putting a little bit of Google reviews about churches. I want to share some of them with you today. Here's one of them. Just got bored quick. Worship was not great, and the message was too monotone and screamy for me. Okay, I don't know, the screamy message. Here's another one. The worship leader looked like he just got done mowing the yard. That's a good one. This one got things messed up. She said, my hubby, daughter, and I attended. We love the service from baptism to communion. My family will be back 1 star. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be 5 stars, not the other way around. She got it messed up. And then one got confused of what they were viewing and said, 1 star, the paninis were terrible. I don't know what church is serving paninis. But I also found one online. I want to show you up on the screen here. This person didn't go to the church, but they experienced a church member. Here's what they said. Went to get donuts with my kid, and I got in line behind someone from this church. They proceeded to buy every last donut the place had right in front of us. And they said, hey, if you wanted a donut, we could just go to church and get a donut there. So I'm going to be avoiding that church and the donut shop from now on. That's kind of funny. It's probably a youth pastor in line. They got all the donuts for the youth. Think about this. What if there were Google reviews for you? Like if people who've experienced you were to go online and to give a Google review of what you are like. Or if you, let's say you had a dinner at your house and you invited guests to come over and you spent all day cleaning and cooking and they come and they have an experience and they leave and while they're driving home, they got on their phone and they wrote a review of their experience with you. What would they say? Well, there was a famous restaurateur, entrepreneur guy named Will Gadara. And he lives in New York City, and he had this restaurant. He wanted his restaurant to be the greatest restaurant in the world, number one in the world. That was his goal, to be number one. He realized that food or serving food was just not going to cut it because every restaurant serves food. Some are good, some are bad. He realized that there is something powerful in the experiences that people have. And so instead of just serving food, he wanted to give people an experience that they would never forget. And he coined this phrase, unreasonable hospitality. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today. But he gave this definition of unreasonable hospitality as the remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. More than that they thought was going to happen in that moment and in that experience. And that was what his restaurant ended up doing. They went above and beyond serving people who spent months waiting to just get a table to go to that restaurant. And in a few short years, the restaurant became the number one restaurant, not in the United States, but in the entire world. Number one rated restaurant because of the experience they gave people. He wanted to create an extraordinary experience where people felt seen, people felt valued, people felt special. And I was thinking about this. That sounds a whole lot like what Jesus did. He helped people to feel seen, valued, and special. In fact, I'd say this, that Jesus, not that restaurant, but Jesus is actually the definition of unreasonable hospitality. And today, as we, this series, we're talking about crossing the line. There's a line between how we live and where Jesus is and how he is hospitable towards people. In fact, in the New Testament, the word hospitable is this combination of two different words, the word love and strangers. So it's the love of strangers. That's what hospitality is. And you and I, we're pretty good at hospitality. I mean, I watched you guys today coming into church. You're like, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you know, everything's good. And how's your family? And how's this week? And you know, all those kind of things. We can be okay with how we're hospitable towards the people, unless we're just jerks. And there might be some jerks in here. You're just like, you just don't like people. You don't want to be around people. You're probably the one that's watching online. Anyways, you know, like, you just don't want to be around people. Most of us, we're good with being around people, and we're hospitable, but it's kind of superficial hospitality. But Jesus was different. Jesus went above and beyond with how he did things that were so unexpected and so radical they became unreasonable in people's eyes. His hospitality was above and beyond. And that's what we're going to look at today. So Matthew chapter 15, I want to take you there today. And we're going to look at a story of Jesus feeding the 4,000. Now, you might be saying, well, Clayton, I thought that was the 5,000. Well, Jesus, I don't know if you knew this, Jesus fed multitudes twice. There's a story earlier where he fed the 5,000, which was just counting the guys, was probably more like 15,000 people. And later on, he fed, again, another group of people that was called feeding of the 4,000. So let's look at this today. We're actually going to start in verse 29. And I want us to look at today how Jesus cared for people in extraordinary ways. We're going to start in the story that happened before the feeding because they all actually tie together. Here's what happened. It says that Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and he climbed a hill and he sat down and a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. And they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. And the crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, the crippled were made well, the lame were walking, the blind could see, and they praised the God of Israel. But the story doesn't end right there, because here's what it says. It says, then Jesus called his disciples and told them, man, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. And the disciples replied, where will we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Huh, Jesus? I mean, come on. Can you imagine putting yourself in the shoes of the disciples? They had already seen Jesus feed the 5,000. All of a sudden, there's another giant crowd, and he says, hey, guys, they're hungry. Do we have anything to eat? And they're like, hey, Jesus, come on. What are we going to do, you know? And I'm sure they're like waiting for Jesus to do something incredible because he'd already done it once. And that's exactly what he goes and does. Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? And they replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. Here you go. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. And then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and he broke them into pieces. And he gave them to the disciples who distributed the food to the crowd. And they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food, and there were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. Why are we looking at this story today? It's because Jesus gave them, these people in this moment, something that they didn't expect to get. They had come for the healing. Just imagine, put yourselves in the shoes of a typical family back then, okay? So you're a mom or a dad, and your grandparent is sick, and you're going to bring your grandfather to Jesus' feet. There's a giant crowd, but you know it's going to take a long time, and so you have to bring your kids with you and your whole family. Y'all travel out into the countryside to see Jesus, and there's this giant long line, and you stand in line for 3 days with your kids. What's that going to be like? Can you imagine? Like, our kids today are soft. They can't stay in line for like 3 minutes, okay? How are you going to stay in line for 3 days? Can you imagine the situation that was going on, multiplied with all these families? And yes, Jesus healed those people in that moment, but he recognized they needed the people, everybody, they needed something even more. You see, hospitality is one thing, but unreasonable hospitality is actually Jesus's thing, and it should be our thing as well. And it matters so much because the opposite side of hospitality can be traumatic in people's lives. The way you treat people, the way I treat people, can affect people in terrible ways. This past week when I was out of town, finally got cell phone service, and my wife Holly calls me and says, "Hey, just let you know, Corbin's been in a wreck." Like, you know, in that moment, as a parent, you're like, ugh. Like, you can't breathe, your heart's like contracting, and you're worried. And then she says, "But he's okay." And I'm like, "Oh, thank goodness." And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, my insurance, you know, and everything's, but it was somebody else's car, and it wasn't their fault. And I'm like, "Oh, praise the Lord," you know. But he was just in this minor fender bender, and but in that moment, he still got, they got hit hard enough to where, like he was saying, you know, my neck kind of hurts a little bit, my back hurts a little bit. All of us have experienced something like that, usually, most of us, where we've been in some minor accident or maybe even a major accident. But in that moment, what happens is suddenly, quickly, you're hurt. You're traumatized. And that's what we're talking about today. That there is a difference between hospitality and hurting people. You see, we can love people through our hospitality, or we can damage people with our hostility. You see, sometimes with our lack of hospitality, people see it as being hostile towards them. If people did a Google review of your heart, how you think about people, what you say about people behind their backs, how you treat people online, what would people say about you? Look, when it comes to hospitality, your reputation is important. It matters. And before Jesus fed the 4,000, his disciples did something that was terrible. His disciples would follow Jesus, who wanted to be like Jesus, saw his hospitality and said, "Man, we want to be like him. Yes, we will follow you." They actually did something that was very hurtful. And in some ways, created this hostile moment in this girl's, this lady's life. In fact, in verse 23, I want you to look at something. Before Jesus made it up on this mountain, they were in hostile territory. They were in like foreign territory. And this Gentile woman, this foreign woman, comes up to Jesus. And she lays down his feet and she's begging Jesus to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed, and it was overtaking their lives, and it was just awful and terrible, and she didn't know what else to do besides come to Jesus. And so this is what she does, and look what the disciples did in verse 23. It says, his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Awful. In this lady's greatest moment of need, she's begging Jesus to do something. The disciples brushed her off. Like, she's annoying us. Like, she needs to go. And what they were doing is they were actually withholding hospitality. And in people's minds, withholding hospitality is often seen as just showing hostility towards them. You might be like, I'm not trying to be rude or whatever. I don't mean to be hostile. But when we withhold hospitality from people, they see that as showing hostility. So here's the question. Do you withhold hospitality to people that are different than you? People that are of different ethnicity, people of different political persuasion, different sexual orientation, people that have a different background, they live a different, completely different life than you. Do we show hostility towards them by removing hospitality from our relationship with us? "Go away, you're bothering me. I got too many other things going on." That's hostile. I'm just telling you, that's not Jesus's way. And so open hostility is something we should avoid. It can damage people in an instant. But there's also another problem that we have that's it's a little bit slower growing. It's like a slow-growing cancer that can ruin their lives and also can ruin your life. And what I call it expected indifference. And it's a problem that we have. Expected indifference towards others is a slow moving cancer. What it can do is it can kill your witness. So what is that? What is expected indifference? Well, indifference is look, I just don't care about you. I got my other thing going on. I'm too busy. People just aren't important. I've got my life to live. Their well-being, their future isn't concerned for me. I just really just don't care about people. I can say I do, but in the way I act, I just really don't care. That's what indifference is. And the reason I call it expected indifference is because that's what we're known for, sadly. People look at Christians and it's what people expect. There's people in this room, there's people online, and there's people everywhere who have been hurt by the church. You've been hurt by the church for whatever reason, and a lot of times it's because people are just indifferent to you. They just really didn't care, you know? They just didn't show the care that, you know, Christians are supposed to share. So all of a sudden, that's what you expect. Or people look at Christians as religious people that are just hypocrites, and they're so busy trying to live out their Christian life and doing the right things that they just don't care about people, and they expect that from us. Expected indifference is a difficult thing. It's a terrible thing. And it can damage people just like hostility can. In fact, the Bible actually talks about it. If we back up a few verses, even in Matthew chapter 15, the same passage, right before Jesus has this moment where he's feeding the 4,000, he was also confronted by some Pharisees. These Pharisees, these guys who were so busy with trying to keep the law that they ignored people. You know? Anybody know anybody like that? They're so busy trying to be a good moral Christian that they forget. They don't even see the needs that are all around them. And this is what Jesus said. In fact, he quotes Isaiah 28, but he says this. He says, these people, these hypocrites, right? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus is saying, this is not the way. These religious people, they were faking their faith and they were self-serving, and people honestly didn't matter to them. And the sad part is that they were known for it. People were like, that's what a Pharisee is. Do people look at Christians? Do people look at us? Do people look at you, your family, and say, man, they just don't care about me. They don't care about me. Look, two things I know about people. One is they matter to God. And they also remember how you treat them. They remember the experience that you give them. In fact, there's a famous quote by Maya Angelou, who's a famous author. And here's what she said about it. She said, I've learned that people, they'll forget what you said. People even forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Right? Feelings are so important, right? And that can be a good thing, but it also could be a bad thing. And when we're not following Jesus' example, what's going to happen is we're going to create a bad reputation for ourselves, but also for the cause of Christ in people's lives. But look, Jesus, he cared deeply about people. He wanted us to live out unreasonable hospitality in people's lives because that's what he did. And you know what Jesus said that we're supposed to do? He said this 13 times in the Gospels. He said, follow me. Follow me. Not just to Peter, but he says it to us 13 times. Follow me. Follow my example. To follow the way that I treat other people. And one of the greatest ways we can follow after Jesus is having unreasonable hospitality in our treatment of other people. That's us crossing the line in their lives. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to show you three simple ways that you can have unreasonable hospitality towards other people. It's really simple, just looking at who Jesus was and following after him. First thing is this. Be unforgettable. Like Jesus. Jesus is unforgettable, isn't he? When you experience him, you're forever changed and you're never the same. But look, you and I, we can be the same way in people's lives by following the example of Christ and being unforgettable in their lives. What I mean by that is wowing someone with no strings attached, with no ulterior motives at all. Just doing something because of the great love you have for Christ and the great love you have for them because Jesus loves them as well. In fact, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus, he's at a sinner's house. Oh, I can't believe he was there, right? Spending time with these people, and the religious people called him out for it, and he talked to everybody, and here's what he said in Luke 14. It says he turned to his host and said, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. Some of you guys are good with that. I don't invite my relatives anymore. Sweet. Awesome. Jesus said it. Don't have to do it anymore. That's not what he's talking about, okay? He's talking about people who can, in return, show you hospitality, okay? Can, in return, do something for you. And a lot of times, that's how we live our lives. Like, what can I get out of this situation? I'm willing to help someone out as long as they owe me one, right? I'm willing to do something just as long as they'll do something for me. And Jesus says, don't live your life that way. He says, instead, he says, for they will invite you back and that will be your only reward. But instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, the people that can't pay you back. What he's saying is do something for someone with no catch, right? With no strings attached. Let me get a little practical here. Next time you're at a restaurant and the Lord leads you to do something, and you see that family that has little kids over there, and you know they're struggling. You can just tell. You can just see. And they're trying to build their career, and they've been saving up to try to bring their kids to the restaurant and have them a good time. What if you just bought their meal for them? Some of you have the ability to do that, and it's not even going to be a big thing. That's unreasonable hospitality, isn't it? That's wowing them. That's doing something that's unexpected. That's being like Jesus. And I'm telling you what, they'll never forget that. They'll never forget how that made them feel in Jesus' name. What if you just mowed someone's lawn down the street who's got that electric mower that never, you know what I'm talking about, the electric mowers that never make it the whole way, and like you drive by and you're like, they haven't got an electric mower, they didn't finish. So like you just mowed their yard with no strings attached just because you wanted to love them. What if, this is a big thing, what if you remembered people's names? Isn't that the hardest thing, right? You go and meet people, and like 2 seconds later, you're going, oh, I totally forgot your name. And the reason is because we're just thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about saying our name right, shaking their hand right. We're thinking about how to respond to them, and all of a sudden, we just completely forget their name because the truth is, we're indifferent. We care more about ourselves than we care about them. What if we just remember people's names? How would that make them feel? What if instead of just talking about ourselves, we asked deep questions and actually stopped and listened to what they were saying instead of trying to think about what we're going to say in return? Man, that can be an unforgettable moment for someone where you show them hospitality like Jesus does. Here's the second thing. We can just get creative like Jesus. You know how creative Jesus was with his hospitality? I mean, Jesus did a lot with very little, okay? I mean, he was generous without an income. He was hospitable without a home, okay? He was able to do some things, so there are no excuses. I mean, you do not have to be rich. You don't have to have a big home to be hospitable towards people. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus does something that's crazy, okay? This is a story of Zacchaeus, wee little man, goes up in a tree. Jesus looks at him, and here's what he says. It's one of the craziest parts of Scripture. He says this, I must be a guest in your home today. You know he did. Jesus just invited himself to someone's house, okay? I do not recommend you do that today, but Jesus did that because Zacchaeus had the ability to have a party. In fact, he was already having a party, and Jesus says, I'm coming over to your house. It was the greatest way for Jesus to honor Zacchaeus in that moment, a man who was shunned by the rest of the culture and the rest of society. He said, man, I want to go to your house. He's being creative. Jesus didn't have anything to give him. But he said, man, I can spend time with you. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be at home to be like Jesus. You just need to have the same heart towards other people and show them value and show them that they're special. And we can do that in creative ways. One of the greatest examples is I try to go to Falls Creek to youth camp every year just to be around the students and the adults and hang out. I was doing youth ministry for 15 years, and so I have a heart for youth camp and getting to go and do that. And when our church goes to Falls Creek, we have a big cabin, and our youth pastor, Noah, he gives everybody a big manila folder and asks everybody to write their name and design it and decorate it. So all the girls make it all pretty, and the guys are like, it's ugly, and they don't care. And then they stick them on the wall, and the goal is that throughout the week, they have these note cards, and all the students are supposed to write. You know how terrible the kids' handwriting is? They have no idea how to write anything anymore. But they write these notes to their friends, notes of encouragement. And they put them in their envelope. And that's just a really creative way to be able to show them hospitality and to love on one another. Let me ask this. What if you did something like that this week? At work? At school? You see someone, God puts them on your heart. Instead of just saying hi or hey or ignoring them, you write them just a little note of encouragement. Put them on their desk or something. Your mailman goes by every day. You write them a little note of encouragement and stick it to the outside of your mailbox. That didn't cost you a thing, did it? I mean, your hand's going to cramp because we don't know how to write anymore, right? But it's so simple and so easy, and yet it can create an experience for someone that they'll never forget. Being more like Jesus to other people. Here's a third thing. It's really simple. Just be yourself. Be yourself like Jesus was. See, hospitality isn't something that we do. It's who we are. If we're believers in Jesus, it should be something it's inside of us. It's not an act, but it's our identity. In fact, Colossians chapter 3 talks about it in verse 12. It says this, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, since God chose you, since you're a part of his family, since you've been born again, you are saved through Christ, here's what you must do. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. That's hospitality, isn't it? Kindness, hospitality. With humility, you need humility to be hospitable. Gentleness and patience, that's hospitality. Man, this is a great example of what it takes to be hospitable in unreasonable, unnecessary, over the top, wowing people in their lives, just being yourself, who you are in Christ. We ought to make that the way that we live. People should recognize it about us. Here's the test. Do people know your name in your neighborhood? Like, honestly, or are you someone that just drives past them, open your garage door, drive in, close it, and you never really talk to them? Or do people actually know who you are? When hospitality is a way of life, people around you are going to know who you are. Everybody has their favorite grocery store. You know, we don't want to go to the big grocery store, and I got to park like 50 yards away. It's going to be terrible. My life's going to change, whatever, right? So we go to our local grocery store, a small one, and you go in there, and you know where everything is. Do you know the names of the people you see every week? Those workers there. Do they know your name? Why not? All it's going to take is having a conversation with them, remembering their name, and showing them unreasonable hospitality in ways that they say, I'm never going to forget that person and how they treated me. Your favorite restaurant, you should know the names of the people that work there, serve there. You should go there not just to eat, but to actually change someone's life. That's what it means to be a Christ follower in this world and how we treat other people. And look, this matters so much because you never know the impact that you're going to have in someone's life. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 says this, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Meaning that, man, it can be important. You do not know who that person is and what their life is going to be like. Well, it's actually going back to the story of Genesis 18 when Abraham, he entertained he was hospitable towards three strangers, two angels and the Lord himself, the Bible says. It was a crazy story. But the point is to say, hey, don't forget to treat people kindly, with love, respect. And you know what? Be like Jesus and do it in crazy ways that people do not expect. And they'll never be the same. So here we go. If you're how do we do this? Look, how many of you guys like to barbecue? Proud of it. You got the Traeger, you know what I'm talking about? You got the recipes, and you want to post your food online and all that kind of stuff. What if you took your amazing brisket, and you actually, at the right time, when people were outside in your neighborhood, you went around and just gave them samples, right? We'll brag a little bit, but at the moment, you just loved on people. If you've got a pool or a really cool backyard, throw a party. Instead of just having it for yourself, invite other people and get to know them. Here's the biggest thing we can do. Look, we can just slow down when we're around people. We're always so busy. Like this American way of life, it's not fun, is it? Always having all sorts of things, to-do lists, all these things we got to do. What if we just slowed down when we were around people and spent time talking to them? That could be with people at work, people at school, people wherever you go in this neighbor, in your neighborhoods and in this community. But also, it's the people here. It needs to be something that happens here at church. Look, guys, here's the truth. If you look around right now, the truth is you don't know half the people in this room. Okay? Like, you don't. You just don't. I don't, okay? There's so many people that I'm trying to get to know. Look, here at Central, we should be known for our unreasonable hospitality, how we care for one another, how we slow down for one another, how we give them our time and attention. It could change their life. Look, unreasonable hospitality, it ought to be important in our lives. And if you're a believer in Jesus, here's why it should be important, okay? Because you've been given unreasonable grace, okay? Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, for every single person. If you're a believer in Jesus, what it means is that you've accepted that free gift of grace. If you haven't, if you're not a believer in Christ, it means you haven't accepted that free gift. But you can. You can even do that today and trust in Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It'll change your life. And what he does, he gives you grace. What is grace? It's God giving you something you don't deserve, right? You don't deserve his love, but he gives it to you freely. You don't deserve his forgiveness, but he gives it to you freely. And he welcomes you in. And so what happens is the Bible says you become a new creation, okay? When you're a new creation, your DNA changes. Your spiritual DNA changes. The Holy Spirit living inside of you, it changes you to where hospitality is not something you do, but it's something who you are. It's who you are. It changes you from the inside out. And we should be hospitable in incredible ways because of the grace that we've been given. We should be unreasonably hospitable because we've been given unreasonable grace. You've been given that. It's changed your life, and you have an opportunity to change someone's life as well. This month, we've been going through this series called Crossing the Line. So it's like this visual of we're over here, right? We're loving Jesus. We're trying to follow Jesus. And yet Jesus is like over here in some areas of our lives. He's saying, are you willing to actually follow me and come onto the other side of the line? And so I want to ask the question today as we wrap this whole series up. Which line do you need to cross the most? We talked about first Jesus's humanity and how he was willing to become a man, to step into our world. Even how terrible that was and all the difficulties of this life, Jesus loved us enough to come down from heaven and live amongst us. And the question is, who in your life do you need to get into their life, right? That right now you're like, I'm unwilling to go to them. I'm unwilling to become their friend. I'm unwilling to put myself in their life. Maybe we need to cross the line just like Jesus did with his humanity. We look at Jesus' humility. And how he was humble, how he didn't think of himself first. Instead, he humbled himself, the Bible says. And how you and I need to also do that in our relationships. And so, in humility, do we need to step across the line and start thinking of other people more than we're just thinking about ourselves? Last week, Noah preached a sermon on Jesus' honesty. And how he had this beautiful ability to speak the truth in love. He didn't shy away from things. Some of us are living over here where we're too afraid to tell the truth, or we tell the truth, we have no love with it. We're harsh towards other people. Instead, we need to become like Christ, speaking the truth in love and pointing them to Jesus. Or does it have to do with our hospitality, how we treat other people? Are we indifferent to them? Do they see us as being hostile towards them? Like, it should not be that way. People should see something different in us. Imagine what would happen in your home life if you had unreasonable hospitality. Imagine what would happen at your work, at your school. Imagine if this church had unreasonable hospitality just oozing all around, okay? This place would be different. People's lives would be changed, all in Jesus' name, because that's how Jesus lived his life, and we should be the same way. Look, you have a choice. We can either be on this side and be unchanged, or we can say, Jesus, change me. I want to be more like you and step across that line and watch him change not just your life, but other people's lives around you. Let's pray. Lord, help us this week. God, help us this week. Help us as parents to live this out in front of our kids. Help us to do this in our neighborhoods and when we go to restaurants and in grocery stores. Help us when we close our car door and walk into work. Help us at this church. Everywhere we go, God, I pray that you would put it on our hearts to love people in your name, to be more like Jesus, to not just say hi, but to be unreasonable in our hospitality, something that's unexpected, something that people will never forget, something that's creative, that can change someone's day, that can change their life. We don't know. But God, you call us to be more like Christ. And you use us to be his hands and feet. And so help us this week to do that. I pray, God, for anyone in this room who's never received the grace, this unreasonable grace, the grace that we do not deserve. It's so unexpected. Grace, which is forgiveness from our sins, only comes through a relationship with Christ. We'll never be able to pay for our sins on our own. We'll never be good enough. I pray, Father, anyone in this room who's been listening or anyone online that's been listening, they feel like an outsider right now. I don't really know how to follow Jesus because I don't have a relationship with them. God, we change their heart right now. Would you call them to repentance? And I pray right now that they would pray. Forget what I'm praying about. They would pray right now and ask for forgiveness and for you to be their Lord and Savior right now. And you'd forgive them and give them your grace. Lord, you're so worth it. You're worth our difficult moments. You're worth the attention we give other people. You're worth every sacrifice. Help us this week, God, to be more like Jesus and how we treat other people. We love you. We give you this week. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.